you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
Hey, what's up, Giants fans? Welcome to another episode of Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper here with Giants insider Alex Pavlovich. Today, we're going to talk Astros versus Giants, and that includes, whether you like it or not, some talk about Mauricio Dubon, plus some rehab updates on players who have been injured. Let's get at it. Before we go any further, though, Giants Talk is presented by Mancini Sleep World. Visit Mancini Sleep World for their free event. Mancini's perfect match guarantee means you get the best mattress at the best price. Hurry in now or visit them online at sleepworld.com. All right, Alex, the Giants got two much needed wins here, both in terms of standings and I think in terms of moral victories for the fans, because it was getting dicey there after the Mexico series sweep.
It was getting dicey in a lot of ways after Mexico City. And look, no regrets. No regrets for anybody. You know what you're getting into down there. You try your best.
Hey, I was in that same boat.
Yep. It was a lot of people in the traveling party were, everyone's going to be in really good shape. It's a great way to kickstart a May diet.
Best shape of their lives.
Absolutely no regrets. Would eat every taco again. But I think the players felt a little worn down. I know people sometimes are like, the point of Twitter is to complain about the lineup. And I'm like, look, there's extenuating circumstances. You don't know who's hurting. You don't know what's going on with certain guys. And in Tuesday's case, when I see all the complaints about the lineup, I'm like, there's a lot of guys in there who are not capable of standing on the field for nine innings tonight for a very specific reason. And you're trying not to say too much, but sometimes just don't, for lack of a better phrase, lose your, you know what, when you see the lineup and you're like, oh, where's Mitch Haniger tonight? Where's JD Davis tonight? How come I haven't seen so-and-so? Things are going on. And Logan Webb, God bless him, decided I'm just going to sum it up nicely for everybody.
Say it.
Put it all out there. We'll put it here just so everybody has a pretty good idea. Here's what Logan said on Wednesday, if you missed it.
It's been a mental grind. It's been a physical grind. I think three quarters of our clubhouse has the so, like, it's not, like, it's been a mental and physical just, like, grind. So, it'll be good to get back home, for sure. Hopefully the away, we'll be better in a couple of days.
So there you go. Quote of the year, and that's what the Giants were dealing with. Really, I mean, a lot of people with the traveling party for 3 days were dealing with the after effects of food or brushing your teeth or whatever happened.
So buckle up, listeners, for the next 35 minutes, Alex and I are going to go roster by roster spot and tell you who we think has diarrhea. Are you ready?
I know way too much about way too many people. But, in that context, in any context, going into Houston and taking 2 out of 3 is good. In that context, it's a really, really good series win. And to kind of stop the bleeding a little bit after two rough losses in Mexico as well. Like, look, the Padres were down there too. And the Padres are having pinata parties every night in their clubhouse. And they seem like maybe going to vault them into World Series contendership again. But, it was interesting 3 days in Houston. I think to come out of it with two wins is pretty huge.
One of the big takeaways in the Houston series was definitely the pitching. Logan Webb, one pitch too many, but still hang on to a W, took a shutout into the eighth. That was awesome. And then Desclafani bruised again, showing that he's been just a huge asset to the Giants, and I'm sure they're so glad they gave him the chance to get back from that injury.
That was my biggest takeaway from 3 days, aside from Logan Webb having the quote of the year, was that he's pitched really well his last three times out. I was never worried about him in early April. You know, he's going to be fine. And then you throw that in with what Alex Cobb continues to do and what Dave Sclafani's done. And just the fact that Anthony's just attacking every single time out and has been the same guy for, you know, six starts now. Looks like the guy that we saw in the first half of 2021. So this isn't out of nowhere. This is just a healthy Anthony DeSclafani. Those three guys at the top is kind of their way right now. And I think there's a lot of other flaws on this roster. I think the lineup's not as deep as they hoped it would be. There's some real struggles there. We'll talk about David Villar. Michael Conforto hasn't gotten going yet. Some other guys are really struggling. And you start to see in this series when you're without Crawford, without Yastrzemski, and on some nights without other guys because of the revenge of Mexico City, you start to see like real issues, 7, 8, 9, and it becomes real easy for teams to get through the bottom third. And then also the bullpen has given up like 70 runs in the last three innings this year. It's been pretty bad. And I think you mentioned Logan Webb throwing one pitch too many. For me, it was like, who's Gabe going to go to there? Like, who do you trust more than Logan Webb in that situation? And I don't think there was anybody except for your closer, and you're saving him for the ninth. So there's some real issues. What can keep them afloat is the three starters. And if they can stay healthy and they can keep pitching like this, they can stay afloat until they can figure out some other ways to win games. But right now it's basically those three guys, I think.
For our starting pitching heads out there, I would like to point out that the Giants pitching person they didn't sign this season, I believe, hasn't thrown a pitch in the bigs this year in Carlos Rodon.
Carlos Rodon?
Yeah.
Sounds like he might not for a while too. So
yeah. So I know it was a dicey offseason for Giants fans, but when you look
to be fair, the guys who replaced him have been not great. So
yeah. Okay.
The guys we're talking about were all locked in already.
They were gonna be in the mix anyway. That's true. When you look at Sean Manaea, and you know, I'm starting to think some of my predictions I made in our last preseason podcast are good. This is gonna be my worst prediction year since we started doing this show.
Yeah, it's, you know, it does make you kind of, I mean, Rodon's not the answer. I won't say it for the millionth time, but what if Kevin Gausman was the top of this rotation right now? So,
well, okay, now that's 1,000% true.
Anyway,
you're right. Anyway, I want to talk about Tuesday's end of the game with Joey Bart and Camilo Doval. Doval still struggling with the pitch clock, and Joey Bart saved him at the end of the game, called not a timeout, but like a disengagement, went to the mound right at the last second. But watching Joey Bart, me and my wife rewound that several times. His frustration, his celebration, just trying to deal with his emotions as Doval was letting the clock get down there so much. It was hilarious.
I don't really blame him because he went to the mound and told Camilo what pitch he wanted to call. And then he went back and they almost had a violation on 3-2 when, you know, granted the heart of the lineup didn't really do much for 3 days, but it's still Jose Abreu behind Alvarez. It's still Kyle Tucker behind him. And you don't want to, you know, bring the tying run to the plate in that situation on a pitch clock violation. So yeah, he went and told him what pitch to throw. And then he came back and Camilo was waiting for the pitch call and it was getting down towards zero again. So Joey very overtly went out and took their final mound visit. The Astros fans were not pleased, but all's well that ends well. Cause they got that pitch in. I feel like we're just on the verge of a really bad pitch clock violation one of these nights. They've been flirting with it, and Camilo especially has been flirting with it. And I think it's going to cost him in one of these spots. He has the stuff to get out of these jams, but you can't just keep putting yourself in that situation. But for me, a really impressive couple of days for Joey. He's hitting above 300. The power isn't really there yet, but I'll just tell you, like, it's like a half dozen pitchers now who have just talked about how hard he's working in the preparation and what he's doing behind the plate. And without being asked about it, they're just bringing him up after their good starts. And I think he's really impressed behind the scenes. And we've seen some of the throwing, and then you see some of the leadership skills there with Camilo there in the ninth, and the ability to get through that. That was a really savvy move. And I think he's, we'll talk about the catchers later in the show, but I think he's come a long way. And if he can stay healthy and keep that groin healthy and everything else healthy, he has a real shot this year to become a lot of that guy. Maybe he won't hit 20 homers ever in the big leagues, but he has a real shot to become that defense and game calling guy that they've been waiting for.
That would be huge. We've talked about the catcher position so much on this podcast, not just this year, but last year. Giants fans just took having a Hall of Fame catcher for granted for so long. It would be incredible to be able to stop worrying about that position finally and move on to other spots.
Yeah, and I know we talk about it a lot, but this is an organization that's trying to replace Buster Posey and has run through a lot of
Not an easy task.
Not easy.
David Villar, another guy who's been scuffling since the Dodgers series. He's got 4 hits and 45 at-bats. What's going on with David Villar right now?
A lot of strikeouts, which we expected. I think, you hope for a few more home runs to make up for the strikeouts because that's just going to be the profile. I actually think he's been pretty solid defensively. And given how much second base he's been playing, has been better at second base than I expected. And that's helping him right now stay in the big leagues. I did ask Gabe about him after Wednesday's game. And he said, look, we believe in him. We trust him. It's a very small sample here. He's going to hit in the big leagues. He's going to hit for power in the big leagues. I will just point out that Casey Schmidt, back-to-back days, has started at second base in AAA, which is interesting for a number of reasons. And I asked Gabe about that as well. And he's like, this is just part of what you do. You get a guy used to playing multiple positions. But we know Casey's a gold glove caliber third baseman at the big league level. We know they wanted to see him at shortstop and has mostly played shortstop in AAA this year. And apparently they've seen enough there where they go, he doesn't need as many reps now moving forward. We can add something else to his plate. It adds another path to the big leagues for him. For him personally, and I think it gives the Giants another option if this continues with VR for another week or two, or if it happens again sometime soon where you have Estrada at shortstop and need to move some guys around. We know what he's going to do defensively if he's up here at any position. So at some point it becomes whose bat do you trust more? And
yeah,
they'll give David a continued opportunity here, but yeah, we're in May. And his batting average is under 150. And we saw this with Joey last year. And remember what happened with Joey? And it ended up not – it's tough. It's a rough adjustment. And I think it's – the best thing that VR can look at is what's happening with Joey right now, which is – it's really tough as a rookie. And you figure it out over time. But we also saw last year at some point they're like, you know what? You need more time in AAA. And it didn't really end up happening because of different stuff with the roster. And he ended up coming back. But – I don't think they'll be afraid to make that move at some point soon and say, you need more time in AAA. So big homestand, I think, coming up for him. He'd try to get comfortable, try to take advantage of maybe some lesser pitching against the Nationals, especially because the numbers are starting to get a little glaring.
Man, everything you're saying about David Villar right now is giving me shades of someone else. He's getting a lot of reps at second base. He's getting a long leash, longer than maybe he was expected to. A lot of benefits of getting him to know different positions. Sounds a lot like our guy Mauricio Dubon.
We might as well just get into Doobie.
Might as well get into Mauricio Dubon. This story has longer legs than it ever deserved, but unfortunately, Alex and I haven't sat down to talk with you since it happened, so too bad. You're going to hear us talk about it. Mauricio Dubon said after the first win of the series that he was, quote, not treated the right way in San Francisco, and that you'd think he'd probably get more playing time with Dusty here now. He's in heaven. As you can imagine, Giants fans and Giants social media lost their minds about this.
Both ways.
Yeah, both anti-Dubon and anti-Giants. I think you could tell everyone's side was already selected before the quote.
It's validation one way or the other, depending on how you feel about Gabe Kapler, I think, was how you felt about this story on Monday.
Exactly. And Gabe Kapler did respond. He's not one to dodge this kind of thing.
Yeah, he was ready for it on Tuesday, and here's what he had to say about Mauricio's displeasure and the way he aired it.
In my experience, over the years, seeing lots of major league players, when players are not getting all of the opportunities that they want and they're not performing, generally speaking, they're not overjoyed about their situation. I've just seen that pretty consistently over the years. On the flip side, when a player is in the lineup regularly, having a lot of opportunity and having success, you almost always see a really content player. So I think that's what's happening here.
Visit Man City Sleep World for our free event. Hurry in now or visit us online at sleepworld.com.
Looking for a ride that's ecological and economical? Ask anyone who owns a Honda.
Gas mileage is great in Honda cars. I feel like I can still go long distances without having to pay a fortune each time I go fill up my gas.
So I do use the Honda as my commuter car, and it's really great because I only have to fill up once a week.
From Accord and CR-V hybrids to Civic and HR-V, there's a fuel-efficient Honda that's right for you. See your NorCal Honda dealer now. For details, ask anyone who owns a Honda or visit NorCalHondaDealers.com.
So I think, you know, mentioning the player's not performing is a subtle move there. I will just say, look, Mauricio hits into a double play on a hanging changeup in the eighth inning on Wednesday, which eighth double play of the year for a guy that fast is a little concerning. And this, I'm not going to turn this into a knock Mauricio thing because I really like him.
I like him too.
His OPS plus is now under 100 again, which has it's been that way his entire career. Basically, it was that way with the Giants. He is hitting above 300. He is playing very good defense. We know he has some speed. He's not doing much else at the plate. So he's below league average as a hitter. It's not like this guy turned into, you know, Brian Reynolds and came back and said, like, what the hell were you doing, Giants? So yeah. I'll just say that. My thoughts on him, I know a lot of people got really mad. I wouldn't get mad. He is somebody, the reason Giants fans loved him is because he wore his heart on his sleeve. And he's a different personality than a lot of what they have on the current squad. I think a lot of what they have now is on purpose. There's a certain personality type that they gravitate towards. Mauricio's a little bit more free-spirited. He is a different type. He has a ton of fun. I think that's why people loved him. I think that's why so many Giants fans still love him. So I don't think you can hold it against him that he got very, very excited after one of the best games of his career against his former team, the team he grew up cheering for, the team he grew up wanting to play for, and did the on-field interview in front of 30,000 people and was hyped and went back there and there was a press conference and was hyped. And he said too much. And the next day he went back and said, you know, I might have said a little bit too much. He texted some teammates who were not surprised. And I talked to some guys who know him well, and they're like, look, he was crushed. He was absolutely crushed when they traded him. He was happy to win a World Series. He wanted to win a World Series in San Francisco. So it was crushing. I think it affected him a lot. So I think that's important to remember during all of this. And the other thing I'll say is to the opportunity, he had an opportunity. He had over 500 plate appearances. He didn't hit in San Francisco. We saw signs of what he could be defensively. And I think that was, you know, for me, maybe that's where a lot of the regret comes in, the defensive versatility and what he's turned into. But he was below average as a hitter. We know the mistakes on the bases. Like, it was maddening. And he almost did it again twice on Monday. He took the extra base a couple times. And, you know, he stole second and the ball gets into center field. And he's thinking about getting up and going. And I don't know that anybody in the Giants would throw him out. But it's just the way he plays. It's that flair. So he got the opportunity. I don't know that he can say I didn't get enough playing time. Like, he played in 54 of 60 games in 2020. So he had a chance, just never stuck. And the last thing I'll say about this is that he was out of options. And I know people go, oh, Michael Papirski, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that didn't work out. The alternative was DFAing him at some point. So you're not going to get much for a guy who's not showing much production and is out of options. And people know that you really have nothing to do with him. And it was him or Tyro Estrada, and the Giants pretty early in that season and coming into that season decided it's going to be Tyro Estrada. And they were right. Tyro Estrada is a better player. So I'm really happy for Mauricio. I think he's found a home here in Houston. And He loves the clubhouse. I talked to him on Monday afternoon, and he's you know, between Altuve and Yordan Alvarez in the clubhouse. It's an awesome situation for him. And I think he probably has some regrets. And I would say it's a young guy who got excited, and yeah, that's my spiel. Don't get too upset about it. And I hope he does well, just not against the Giants.
I feel like the reason fans are getting upset about it is because he was this the one that got away, this the feel good vibe player. I mean, his vibes always outweighed what he was actually doing with the Giants. That's why they weren't able to get anything good for him, because I grew up rooting for the Giants and am a fun character doesn't really give you a lot
Brandon
of trade
Crawford's
value.
My hero, doesn't.
Yeah.
In trade talks.
Hey, Phillies, we got this guy who loves Brandon Crawford. When he does kind of a heel turn, all of a sudden that means a lot for Giants fans. There's so much talk online of the curse of Mauricio Dubon. Once Mauricio Dubon left, everything went sour.
I think that's one Twitter account who's just a moron. So, but anyway,
I feel like if there was a curse, it has been exercised now. Now the no pricks here squad is the we have diarrhea squad, and we're starting fresh. This is all new. I'm gonna be honest. I get what you're saying. I agree with Giants fans who are upset by this. I mean, so many other players have either retired and come back to this team, or who have left and encouraged friends and other teammates to come to the Giants because they've given it such rave reviews as an organization. It seems like one of the most player friendly clubhouses. Get mad at him. Let's do it. I want Mauricio Dubon to regret saying this.
The thing is, I don't think it's an organizational thing. I think he's mad that Gabe didn't play him enough, and he thinks he deserved more playing time, and Gabe would say he didn't. And so you can point at Donovan Walton, and you can point at all the other randos who have been in the middle infield, and some guys who have played center field for him at times, and say, I wish Dubon were there instead. He was out of options. There was nothing to do with him. They had a full infield coming back. Look, Tommy La Stella didn't work out, but at the time he was coming back, he hit a ball 500 feet at Coors Field when he came back, and you go...
You got to give the guy who you owe $18 million to a try.
It's the right move. So I just don't think this is... I know people get frustrated by this stuff, but it's a results-based business, and Tyro Estrada was in the exact same situation, and he has made himself into an all-star. And look who he is now. He's going to be here a while. And Mauricio had the shot first before Tyro and wasn't able to do it. So, yeah, I just think he didn't see it that way. He still doesn't see it that way. He's angry at Gabe. But I also think it's someone who just spoke emotionally after a game. And sometimes guys have regrets about what they say, and he did as well. Look, the next day he's out there with Brandon Crawford and Logan Webb. He loves these guys. He grew up loving this franchise. And Logan said after Wednesday's game, he said, I almost brought a beer out here. Just a little shout out to Mauricio for the post-bunt thing. So there's no hard feelings there. I think it's just it was a fun story for one night. An interesting story for a season that could use it. But I wouldn't hold it against him too much.
I would be curious to see if when his time with the Astros is over and there was a fit, if Giants fans would want him back, or if he would even want to come back.
Well, look, Jose Altuve is coming back pretty soon. So
yes, the fuzzy warm feelings in Houston for him are on a deadline. His starting spot is going away.
And I think he's a great fit. That team with some injuries is not as deep as you would expect. And defensively, what he can do is going to allow him to be a fit for a long time in the big leagues. But he's playing right now because Jose Altuve got hurt in spring training. That's his opportunity. And that's just, it happened here. It didn't happen in San Francisco. And again, not like he has 12 home runs. He's below league average as a hitter. So I talked to him Monday. I root for him. I think he's a tremendous story. His backstory is tremendous. And yeah, that's what I'll say about it.
My last thought on the whole thing is I'm a huge Kapler fan. I am pro what the organization has been doing right now. I probably to a fault. But I think for these players that are getting next manned up and platooned and snip snapped back and forth, that is draining and kind of dehumanizing. And these guys, you know, it's not maybe what a lot of them envisioned their big league experience to be like.
I'll just say that I'm in the clubhouse every day.
Really?
I don't hear 1% of the complaints you would think you would hear.
Okay. That means a lot coming from you.
It's people who understand that this is just the business and this is just the way it is. Like it's, and look, if it doesn't matter where you are, if you're playing for Dusty Baker and you go one for your next 30 and Jose Altuve comes back, you're not going to be playing. So the Giants do it a little bit differently than some teams. It's a different method over there, but we just had this long conversation about David Villar. Like they're giving him a shot, young guy. They're giving him some runway here. So I think there are guys who have earned that opportunity. There are guys who have done stuff to show that they deserve more of an opportunity. And some of it is situational as well. But it's also a great place if you're somebody like a Tyro Estrada, J.D. Davis, like all these similar types, guys who are trying to break through. They have done it in San Francisco. You'll get that playing time if you hit. If you don't, you're not. And it's result-based. So, I think – they're going to give you an opportunity and they're going to give you a chance to prove you can be a big leaguer. And some guys swim and some guys sink. And I just don't think there's as much like displeasure behind the scenes as people think there is. Like these guys understand the deal here. They understand that platoons are great for them for the most part, puts them in good situations to be good big leaguers.
I think that needs to be shouted off the rooftops, Alex, because hearing you say that just makes me change my tune on so many thoughts. That should have been the slogan. Giants baseball, there's not as much displeasure behind the scenes as people think there is.
Well, I want Logan Webb's quote on the nothing like it board. I need someone to make that for me. I need that. So
I will get you a shirt within 2 weeks.
Okay.
If you promise to wear it in the press box.
Don't know that I need the shirt this time, but I need the graphic that I could use
all right,
later this fine. Season. Yeah, I'll just, done. You know, there's not... The guys understand the deal. There's not as much complaining as people think.
Okay. And to put a bow on the topic, Mauricio Dubon went 1-for-8 since Monday's comments, and that's going to be the fresh start the Giants need. The Giants are undefeated since Dubon Gate. Let's go.
We're pro. I hope he hits 300. We're pro.
Oh, yeah.
Player,
definitely. So. But I also hope he strikes out every time he faces the Giants specifically.
Yeah. Well, they won't see him again.
I think that's more or less what Gabe said. So
yeah, it was basically, yeah. He's like, same. Hope you do well. We're going to try to get you out the next 2 days. And they did.
All right. Moving on. Giants Talk is presented by Honda. The game is available to stream on the NBC Sports app for mobile and tablet. Stream the Giants on the go wherever you are. Brought to you by your NorCal Honda dealers. Giants have some players getting rehabbed for non-gastrointestinal reasons. Alex, do you have updates on those for our listeners?
If some players getting rehabbed for... Can you throw the Logan Webb... No, I'm kidding. Just throw the Logan Webb quote in here every 30 seconds. It's, you know, some guys starting to come back. Darren Ruff started a rehab assignment. Going to be interesting to see what they do with that spot. You know, he was more of a necessity when Haniger and Swader were hurt, but See guys get hurt all the time. So Alex Wood's doing really well. It looked like that might be like a month when he got hurt, and he's pretty close to a rehab start. And then after that, he'll be back. So they'll be back to their six starters. Yeah. Figure out cool what to six. Do there. Luke Jackson is facing hitters, throwing live BPs. We talked about the bullpen a little bit earlier. Pretty important to get – look, he's similar to John Brebbia, like coming back from Tommy John. You're not going to get a ton out of him right away, but to have that option down the stretch this season would be pretty important given what we've seen recently from the bullpen. And then down in the minors, Marco Luciano is in Double-A, which is comforting. He's played his first game there. He's back on the field, back at shortstop. I wouldn't rule out seeing him this year, if he can really get going. Yeah. And, you know, Von Brown, we talked about last week, is going to be there as well. He's crushing during a rehab assignment right now. And I think once you get to Double-A, especially if you're on the 40-man like Luciano is, you can move quickly. Like, look, Patrick Bailey is already in Triple-A. So that's a good one. And then Reggie Crawford, long road for him, finally faced some hitters. Wearing single digits is a big pitcher that has Crawford on his back. So an interesting look.
Yeah.
It's going to be different, but he's going to be with San Jose at some point in the next, at some point this summer. It's going to be, I'll just say this about Reggie, it's going to be really slow this year. The Giants don't know if he's going to throw 15 innings or 50 innings or what it's going to be. They're going to be very careful given what the arm is and given what he's coming back from. But he's on the way back.
I'm going to be honest. I kind of was under the impression that they would phase out his pitching. I don't know why. I just assumed like no one's going to actually try to go for the Ohtani thing. But cool to see that that is not true.
I don't know that they're going for the Ohtani thing, but
I think pick a side.
I think they might pick the pitching side. They're not going to do anything this year, but pretty clear to me, just talking to people, that if he has to pick a side, and I think he ultimately will, that his future is on the mound.
Wow.
So, look, you have a lefty who throws 100 and is that kind of athlete. You're going to see if he can be an ace first and foremost. So
there we go.
Yeah, that's going to be the focus for him this year. You're not going to see him starting three games a week at first base and then pitching two innings.
Okay. Well, that is someone I know, it's going to be years before that comes to fruition, but I'm very excited to keep my eye on Reggie Crawford.
Yeah, and a tremendous talker. So
tremendous talker.
We'll have him here at some point.
Plus, he's a swimming guy, so he gets extra Alex Pavlovich points. Very important. Beyond the rehabs, Giants have roster moves. Mike Yastrzemski and Brandon Crawford on the IL coming out of Mexico City. Britt Wisely and Cal Stevenson coming up. Wisely was number 27 on the roster for going international, so he gets to stay around. But what about Cal Stevenson, the result of the rare Giants A's trade?
Yeah, he's a local, a Fremont guy. He is very much in the mold of what they like around here, which is good plate discipline, kind of solid across the board.
Okay.
And he's a good defender. So I think one thing we saw during the series and late in games on Wednesday, especially, was Wisely was really good at second base when they put him there. And he's been good in center. And Stevenson is kind of across the board a good defender and can play center. So I think some of these games, especially like when they get performances like they got from the starting pitchers, they're really going to be like, let's lock it down late, especially with Crawford out. So those two guys, both pretty good defenders, pretty similar types. You're not going to get a lot of offensive production from either one, probably at the big league level, but they're hitting 8-9 right now. So that's what to know.
Right. I mean, you had me at Fremont, you know, me local guy, let's do it.
Anybody in the Bay Area.
Same with Farhan. Anyone in the Bay Area. I feel like you mentioned that. Same with Farhan. The Giants have really pushed for locking that down, and I'm on board for the best organizational decision they've made.
Yeah, the problem is, and this is, I'm on board for it too. It's the problem is when you do that, every once in a while a guy gets away, like James Outman. And you're like, what the hell? Where was that guy? so it's these guys come in from, like, Rowdy Tellez is coming in, and you're like, Sacramento's. He's has
would
eight runs
love
around.
Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, where's Rowdy?
In, the orange and black. That he would be out instant jersey by.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's moving on. Sean Jelly sent down. Cole Waits called up. Sean Jelly, one of the guys who got banged up in Mexico and didn't look much better. Wait, no, he didn't. Sorry.
Monday.
Yes. He got banged up by Houston for five runs. What's the future for Jelly look like? Cause I'm a big Jelly stan.
Oh, I know it's a step back for him. It's a regroup. He's going to be in the rotation in AAA now instead of out of the bullpen. And look, the velocity has been really good. It's pretty consistently 95, 96. The command hasn't been there, and it's one thing to be giving up all the hits he is, but to be walking as many guys as he is as well, like, it's just not going to work. So Sean's going to have to be in the strike zone just to succeed. Every pitcher does, but I think especially someone like that who doesn't have as much swing and miss, he's going to have to be in the strike zone, and he hasn't been. And so this is a reset for him. And I do hope, given what they have in some other guys in Beck and Waits. And I think Sean needs some time to just get in a rotation, go pitch every 5 days, figure some stuff out. And one thing we've seen with guys, we saw this with Sam Long, right? Like, you're like, go figure it out. But then someone would get hurt and you need him at the big league level. You need the depth. He spends a few days on the taxi squad. He spends some days in the bullpen. You know, you go to Mexico City, you don't pitch, then you come in a really tough situation. I think he just needs to go figure some stuff out. And I hope they have the depth that they can do that for a few weeks and just let him go start and let him try to get in a rhythm.
It's tough seeing guys that you predicted to do well scuffle like this, but I want Sean Gelly back up here in his best possible form. Kind of bummed out that he won't be part of the mustache squad. Maybe yeah. Minor league teams will do that as well, but it is what it is.
It started in the minors, so at least for the Giants. Well, so
yeah. Then that's perfect. Last roster move, Giants release Gary Sanchez. Gary, we hardly knew you. The catcher spot has been the most interesting part of this season this year. Gary Sanchez did not get a rose. So right now, what's the catcher situation breakout, Alex?
Thanks, Bobby Evans. It is really interesting. Gary just didn't hit. I mean, he just did not hit at all in AAA. And, you know, you would ask Giants people, like, how's Gary looking? And they're like, he's over there. He's fine. So I was like, okay. And I think it tells you a lot about where he was at, that they're going to ride with two young catchers who are pretty unproven at the big league level. And it's really interesting when you go beyond that, because the two catchers in AAA are Patty Barrels, Patrick Bailey, and Ricardo Henevez. And so you have this situation now where the Giants have a 26-year-old starter in Joey Bart, a 25-year-old backup / platoon partner in Blake Sable, and then two 23-year-olds in AAA. And that's basically what they're riding with. I mean, you can always trade for a guy at some point, or, you know,
Austin Wentz bring someone out of retirement.
You could try to go to ownership level, and but I think it's actually like, look, I think this is in a lot of ways what's best for them, because they have to figure out that position. And part of the disappointment for me early in the year was like, you need to figure out what Joey is, and you need to let him play. And this is a former number two overall pick. This is a guy who's working his ass off behind the scenes to be the guy. So to not start him on opening day, to make it seem like Gary Sanchez might be coming for his job, that to me felt like, what's the future here? Like, what are we doing? Joey has an opportunity now, and I don't think he's ever played better than he has over the last couple weeks. I know he had that stretch last year where he hit. I just think defensively, game calling, leadership wise, everything he's doing right now is what he needs to do. And Blake Sable, they'll figure it out. He's going to be here, and he hits right-handed pitching, and, you know, all the pitches in the dirt, I think, are starting to wear on some Giants fans. I asked about that. I'll just say Blake has been, even aside from Mexico City, under the weather for Mexico City. So he's not, hasn't really been healthy, and that the Giants feel like that's been part of it. But certainly worth watching. And then I think it's exciting to have the two young guys at AAA. And I just continue to think we're going to see Patrick Bailey at some point in the second half. So
I can't wait for that. I think that's the kind of thing coming out of the Buster Posey era, just a new, fresh catching prospect, homegrown, is the kind of thing that's going to get the fans' juices moving.
In long term, I mean, it's a really tough position to fill in free agency. So, and in the offseason. So for me, a lot of this year, and we'll see where they go record-wise, but a lot of this year is now, who are your guys behind the plate next year? Because you're probably going to keep Blake Sable the whole year now and have an opportunity to keep his rights. So who are your guys going into next season? And do you have your guy? Do you have your starting catcher? Is one of these young guys the guy?
Next, the Milwaukee Brewers are coming into town. We got pitching matchups. We got what you need to know. But first, Giants Talk is presented by Happy Days RV. Happy Days RV is celebrating 49 years of business. Huge discounts on trailers, toy haulers, and motorhomes. With 2024 on the horizon, all 2022 and 2023 inventory must go. Find your RV at happydaysrv.com. That's happydazerv.com.
Giants Talk.
All right. Let's do it. We really should have done Mexico City, but we'll figure out one.
I know. It would have been probably more comfortable than flying after after what happened.
Bathroom in our car? I mean, that's the whole point of an RV, right?
Probably more helpful to the Giants than their one. Yeah.
Next time, Giants versus Brewers. We're going to have Sean Manaea, Alex Cobb, and Stripling lined up. Who are the Brewers going to be throwing out there, Alex?
Corbin Burns, of course.
Of course, they
always can't have to dodge it. Corbin Burns, Colin Rea, and Freddy Peralta. So Milwaukee's been playing well. I mean, Pittsburgh's the story of that division, but they've been playing well. They're third in the majors in ERA. Devin Williams, who got him last year. And he's outstanding. I mean, again, pitching like one of the best relievers in baseball. And we mentioned Sacramento's Rowdy has 8 home runs.
Rowdy,
it's kind of helping carry that lineup. So they're always, we know that team. They're always a tough matchup.
It's funny that he's from Sacramento. I'm a big Rowdy fan, but looking at that roster with family in Wisconsin, he looks like a Wisconsin lad.
Yeah, he was born to, your dad must just love.
Yeah, love born watching. To be a Brewer.
Yeah, born for it.
Yeah, so this is, it was a rough couple of weeks for the Giants. Rough 2.5 weeks against a good run. The Giants fared, I think, better than they could have. This could have been more of a disaster right now than it did. Obviously, there were some lows, including Mexico City. But what, they were 7-6?
Yeah, 7-6 with 3 games left here before, you know, the Nationals come into town. And look, you don't want to overlook that because the Tigers smoked the Giants. So it's, you don't want to think too much about it. But we did talk about this is 2.5 weeks where they could be buried. And exactly. I do think, given the way the Dodgers are starting to play, given the way the Padres are playing, had they gone, I don't know, what are they, 7-6 now? Had it been 3-10, like, you'd be done. So, and it could have been against this group that they've been facing. So I think the 2 wins against the Mets to take 2 out of 3 here from Houston, like, those are really, really good kind of stay afloat wins. And they're not in a great spot, but there was a real shot they were going to be buried by today's podcast. And
yeah,
they haven't done that. I do think, you know, we'll talk about it more down the line, but this division's starting to get going. So it
is. Dodgers are finally hot.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks are hanging in there. Everyone who was lingering around 500 has left that 500 pack.
And the Padres are just absolutely having the time of their lives.
They are.
So I need someone on baseball Twitter needs to make a mashup of Logan Webb's quote and the Padres doing their pinata dance in the clubhouse afterwards, because it's two groups that had a different experience in Mexico.
Shout out to the Padres clubbies who spiked the Gatorade with Imodium and didn't let their team go through this. That was a big
they might
move.
Be. They just, you know, it's maybe just not everybody's as descriptive as our. Thank you, Logan.
Thank you, Logan. And hey, thank you, listeners. Thanks for listening to Giants Talk. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and go listen to Dubs Talk. Warriors are in the playoffs, and this is the most exciting time of the year to be a basketball fan. So go listen. And what do you got, Alex? You're nodding your head at me.
I was going to say, unless you're Logan Webb and you have to wear a Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. That was another highlight of the Houston experience. Logan Webb marching around the clubhouse in Warriors gear while refusing to say go Warriors on camera.
I will also just say that he is a very good sport, and he wore it all of batting practice, stood in left field, shagged fly balls. He signed autographs with Giants fans for, you know, 20 minutes afterwards. He was the last player on the field during batting practice. Took a ton of photos with Giants fans who were in Houston. So there are 2 ways to go about a bet like that. You kind of feel like, oh, this sucks. Or you just lean into it, and 100% leaned into it. So I thought that was very cool.
Fantastic. Logan Webb, the new face of Dubs Talk.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.